It's your host, Akil, on another Who Menu episode. Make sure you check us out on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. That's where all the content will be. Today we got Cam, Bree. So let's get into it.
All right, so starting off strong, we're going to start with the Iowa-South Carolina women's basketball game. Obviously, it was huge on social media, just kind of the viewing. What are your guys' thoughts, like, overall watching that game? And do you guys think that the March Madness will ever have this big a viewing as it did this year, breaking all those records?
For me, I think it's kind of – I don't want to say it's hard to say, but I think, like, this – year was a great year for women just because of the, like, the marketing aspect of certain players like Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark and Juju Watkins, Paige Beckers. Like, I think those are, like, I can't forget Cameron Brink. Like, those are, like, girls that are trying to, like, take the sport to the next level. I think losing Caitlin Clark will hurt a little bit, but I think she left a good enough mark as to where, like, the next, I think I would say Juju is next. Like, she could take it to new heights just because of her on-court talent. And then along with the NIL, like, it's helping off the court-wise and social media, and it's helping the platform in multiple ways.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. Obviously, Caitlin Clark got a lot of the spotlight. Had Paige not gotten hurt, I think Paige would have been a front runner for a lot of the media and spotlight that Caitlin got. But overall, Caitlin's a great player. At the end of the day, I think she did a great job of, you know, empowering the sport and, you know, with all women across the board who've been trying to do this for a long time, like, expand the visibility. And Juju, with her being next up, I think she can, if not accomplish some of the same things Caitlin was able to, maybe a little bit more. She'll be able to do a little bit more. So I know the spotlight will be on her heavy, of course. But I think overall the national championship game kind of went how it was supposed to go. I think South Carolina was going to get the best of Iowa at the end of the day. You know, Iowa hung in there as much as they could, but it just didn't really have enough. And I think the athleticism ultimately won over in that game and the toughness that South Carolina won.
No, Akil, you make it, like, a really good point. Cam, you too. It's crazy to think about how, like, that's all one recruiting class. Like, you have Paige, you have Caitlin, you have Cam Brink that were all, like, you know, five-star, like, players. But, Akil, do you really think it was just athleticism, or do you think maybe the rebounding, like, obviously South Carolina killed them on the rebounding. Was it more they were out-jumping them, or they were just bigger, right? Like, them coming off the
bench. I think rebounding comes down to a lot of times athleticism, right? Like, if teams are boxing out at a high enough level, and you guys 6'3", 6'4", and then how tall is Cardoza? Like 6'6".
I think they're giving her 6'7", so that would mean she's really about 6'5", 6'6".
I don't know if I consider her athletic, right? She's just, you know, a very big body, but some of those other girls in South Carolina are very athletic. I mean, Ashton Watkins, I mean, she's dunking, right? So I think the athleticism kind of overwhelmed them, and then, like, Raven Johnson, right?
Yeah.
She was able to stay in front and play really good one-on-one defense, so I think the athleticism was the difference maker. Kayla came out 18 points in the first quarter and kind of, you know, died down as the game kind of carried on. So, yeah, I think at the end of the day, South Carolina did what they're supposed to do.
All right. And kind of talking about Caitlin here, if you're the Indiana Fever, right, being the number one pick, are you happy with how she kind of finished off playing against, like, more athletic players? Like, you thinking about pro, obviously stronger bodies, more experience, would you say, like, like, she probably wouldn't start for me? Like, now you start having all these pressures, right? Because you're gonna have this fan base, everyone, you know, coming to watch her. It's like, what would you do if you were like, hey, I'm behind drafting the number one pick?
I mean, you gotta draft her. I mean, it's you kind of have to. And her volume of shots was really the questionable thing for me, right? Like, she averaged, what, 32?
In the – or was it –
overall, yeah. Maybe, what, like 28 or something like that? So she averaged about 28 points, close to 30, off of about 30 shots. And a lot of those shots, I don't know if it was between I'm the best player on this team, so I probably should be taking some of these shots, or was it more so like forced in a sense? I know people say she made the right play a lot, but I mean, when you're being doubled or something, obviously the right play is to pass the ball. It was a lot of times I felt like she probably could have passed a little bit more without even having a double. Get 2 feet in the paint, kick out. And then don't get me wrong, she's a solid passer for the most part, but you definitely got to take her for number one pick. Do I think it'll translate to the WNBA? I don't know. I really don't know. I think she'll still be a really good player. I just don't know if that coach is going to allow her to play in her full capacity.
What do you think, Cam? If you were her coach, right, or you're like, take every shot like you did at Iowa, but you got to remember you have Aaliyah Boston now, right? Mm-hmm. So then that's kind of a better duo. It's like, you know, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm definitely drafting her. I don't think there's any question about it. I just think it's like, how are they going to build a system around her, or is it Aaliyah Boston's team and Caitlin's coming to help her? So I think like the fact that she's going to be around more professional players, maybe she can get off the ball a little more, and maybe they can use her as a, okay, now you can come off pin downs, and now you don't have to be the sole ball handler and create everything for everybody. So it's just interesting to how are they going to build it around her, or is it Aaliyah Boston's team and you're the complimentary person?
Yeah. So,
as far as translating, I think like she takes a lot of shots, yeah, but I mean, if the end result is, I'm kind of living with the end result being 30 and 10, like. That's college. Is that going to happen? I'm not expecting that for her first year in the WNBA. I'm not expecting it in her second year. If her numbers are 18 and 8, like I don't think I'm upset. I'm upset with that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. 18.
Just depending on what they need her to do or what they expect from her.
Yeah, it kind of the Fever's pretty bad, right?
Yeah, I mean, they haven't been great, but they keep getting number one pick. So I think this is kind of like a big year for them. I mean, realistically, they don't need a Cam Brink, I don't think. Like, they have Aaliyah Boston, like, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, depending on that system. Obviously, I think they just had a recent coaching change, like, the year before.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It could be a pretty solid team.
Wait, yeah. is this back-to-back number one picks?
Yeah, because Aaliyah Boston was last year, I think.
I'm looking at this roster right now, and yeah, she might shoot 30 times. I mean,
well, because you got Lexi, you got Lexi Holt, right?
Lexi Holt. I mean,
she's more defense though.
Defense, like, catch and shoot. Like,
you gotta have.
Yeah, volume shooter. Aaliyah Boston. Grace Berger, not really familiar. Kelsey Mitchell, solid player from what I remember.
I think what's most important is she going to be the only person that can create again, or is she have other people that can create, so she can just sometimes spot up and catch and shoot?
I think they got a couple girls who can get paint touches and creative with the ball. So it'll be definitely interesting. I don't see her being a Luka type where she got the ball in her hands 85% of the game and got to make every play. It's hard for me to see that. Now, if she does it and she's efficient with it, by all means, she's going to have some people shutting up then.
And she won't play the same amount of minutes, potentially, right? So that might be even better in terms of, like, but no, it kind of goes into that topic, right? Taurasi, Kelsey Plum, like a lot of, you know, those USA players were asked about, you know, Caitlin Clark, especially like with this year with all these players who have huge followings, obviously Cam Brink with New Balance, like how that really translates. I know a lot of people were going back and forth with Taurasi kind of being a hater, talking about Caitlin. Obviously, she's just saying, right, what we've already said. You haven't played against a pro. I think Taurasi always is kind of like
on edge.
That same plot. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Do we think Taurasi was kind of like a hater, or is she just keeping it realistic and keeping the crowd like, hey, yeah, she's great, but, you know, who knows?
What I wasn't aware of is that Diana Taurasi has always been this way. Like I thought it was just coming from a like, oh, like everybody's just like anointing Caitlin. So like, I'm gonna let everybody know, like, she ain't played no real pros yet. But if that's just her, then it's like, I'm cool with it. Like, she's being, it's not like she lied or anything. Like, she hasn't played professionally. But the thing is, like, Caitlin, didn't she already, she's going to be on the Olympic team, right?
I think they for sure, I invited her for that.
So she's going to get that early look at it. Like, so like, Diana got to see her next week.
Yeah. So, I love it.
Y'all going to bump.
Yeah.
But yeah, so. Diana didn't lie. She said how she felt, and that's fine with me. I just think my initial reaction was like, you should be like giving this college girl her flowers for like, she's taking this sport, the women's basketball, to new heights that it hasn't seen. Like, I think everybody should be trying to get behind her and pushing her as far as she can. But Diana didn't lie about what she said.
Yeah. No, yeah. I love it. I mean, I saw a clip today of Diana when she bumped Kelsey Plum to the ground on the drive, and how Kelsey Plum was just laughing about it. Just, that's just her competitive spirit. And yeah, it's hard, like, to let, or she could have gave her flowers maybe a little bit more. And I'm sure she's done that in closed doors and whatnot. But as far as in that moment, like, that was a great moment to like have some, you know, a competitive vibe to it, like, yo, like, she bumping now, but wait till she get to the WNBA. Like, we gonna see what she about. And I think Caitlin should just continue to welcome that challenge. I think that's what she probably did when she saw the video. She probably didn't think, oh, Diana's a hater. Like, what's she talking about? She probably like, all right, yeah, we gonna see. And when they face each other, then we gonna see. I'm sure Diana probably won't be Gardner. But I'm sure
she don't want to guard her. She's gonna want her like immediately.
We're gonna see if they match up a couple times in transition or on the switch in the half court or something like that. But no, I like it, and I definitely love, you know, where the women's game is, and I love the fact that Diana also has that competitive edge on her, still at 41, ready to take the challenge.
But if you are Caitlin and you see that, like, what is your like initial reaction like? Because I'm pretty sure, like, Diana, somebody should look at it like, this is like the GOAT. Like, this is like the standard for women's basketball.
Yeah.
And it's like, you get a, I'm seeing her, and like, I look up to her, and it's like, that's how she feels about me. Like, I see both sides of it. Like,
yeah.
When I see her, I got to go at her, but it's like, damn, like.
Well, because if you even watched a game where it was like Sue Bird and them, like, Sue was like, you know, who are you taking number one? Like, if Paige was going, and it, you know, Sue was like, you know, like, I'm going to take Caitlin. And, you know, Diana's just sitting there, and she's like, "Nah, I'm taking Paige all the way." Mind you, they went to UConn, so like, I'm not surprised by that answer.
Yeah.
But then even like Brianna Stewart, you know, if we call Caitlin Clark one of the greats, she's like, "Well, she has to win a national championship, right?" That's everyone's like kind of common goal, which is what she said. Now, obviously, that doesn't take it away, but Cam, you could kind of elaborate a little bit more on what you think on that.
My thing with the championship thing is like, with college, it's more like it's a team, like. We're not sitting here talking about Iowa if it's not for Caitlin the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm expecting the hugest drop off from Iowa next year. But it's like, Brianna Stewart, when you look to her left, like, I don't know her teammates off the top of my head, but I'm sure it was four or five WNBA players right there.
Yeah.
That's what all the UConn teams, like, most of you guys have had four or five first round draft picks, probably lottery picks on your team. Like, Caitlin taking that program from the ground and propelled it to back-to-back national championship appearances. So, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, how many greats have won national championships in college?
Right. Well, because you think about it too, when Kelsey Plum took that, you know, season record however many years ago, right, she didn't win a national championship, but she also didn't get – obviously, the media is way different than what it was.
Right.
Now and things like that, but a lot of people weren't, you know, giving her props. They expected her to be like average when she first got into the league. So,
yeah, nah, it's kind of funny that she did bring up championships and being great. I mean, I guess that's part of it, but like you said, like at college, it's so hard within that 4 to 5 year gap to get you one. You know, and you gotta have a well-oiled team. Like, if it's just really you and a couple good role pieces, it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough because you're still fighting with, at the end of the day, women's basketball it's not, I want to say it's too top heavy, but it is very, you know, top heavy. You got some of the mid-major programs that can kind of compete with the high major programs, but after that, it's kind of like, you know, you kind of have an idea of what to expect from everyone else.
Well, yeah. Breonna Stewart, she won 4 straight though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to count. I mean, you can say that. That's kind of crazy. That's kind of crazy.
That's hard. People were upset with them dominating like that.
I guess because people trying to say like Caitlin's the best like women's college player ever. Like, I guess I can see where they're like hold up, like I won. Like, yeah.
Candace Parker has some crazy stats too.
Yeah.
Right.
She has some crazy numbers too that I came across.
I guess it makes sense. I mean. Maybe, I mean, if Caitlin's looking at this, like, this is okay, like, I got to see all these girls. Like, we're going to see, like,
yeah,
it's good for the sport.
We're going to bump. We're going to bump. And I know Caitlin got a little asshole to her, like the good asshole in her, where she got that competitive edge. Like, all right, we're going to see.
Yeah. She's off Raven.
Yeah. Like we're going to see. She got some of that in her. So I think she'll welcome the challenge for sure.
Yeah. No, for sure. And kind of just wrapping up this whole Caitlin Clark, these finals, things like that. Obviously, Ice Cube was like huge for, you know, offering her that 5 mil to go into the big three. Now, does that go on with season with WNBA? I'm pretty sure it does. But what are your guys' initial thoughts? Like, obviously, he wanted to blow it up. I'm sure it's someone on his side who leaked how much that was going to be. He's trying to get more traction. What do you guys think about it? If you were Caitlin, would you consider it? Does that put you obviously at the top? Like, Diana, you could talk all you want about me. I'm about to get 5 mil from just playing in a big three. What are your guys' thoughts?
Shit, my thoughts was you finna be playing eBabies 2 next week.
I don't know. I don't know. There's no. Can she do both?
I don't know. The contracts. I don't know what the contracts.
Yeah, I think she could, and if the WNBA was fine with it, like the big three would. Definitely be fine with it. I think it's more so the WNBA would let her incorporate that into her contract. But I mean, it's only what
if they allow her 10 weeks. I'm taking it.
5 mil. I mean, yeah,
that's money that
where it's like you got to do it. Like some women don't see that money until year 6, 7, 8. They may not ever even see that. So
well, 6, 7, 8 playing overseas and. Playing in the WNBA.
Right, right.
I mean, I think that's definitely something she definitely has to seriously consider.
Yeah. They talk about the big three physical and all. Man, I've been to plenty of big three games. Now, they are physical. They do play a little jail ball. But if she just catches and shoots, she'd be fine. They got the four-point shot. I just stand on the perimeter and knock it down. But they're going to be trying to attack. They're going to be trying to attack the shit out of her on defense. Oh, fact. So, that's the only thing. But other than that, I feel like why not? Like, even if – I don't know if there's going to be, like, a minutes. Like, they want to play a certain amount of minutes with
that's them, what like, I was saying. Like, if you – I mean, if I only got to play, like – what did they go to, 50?
Think they go to 50.
Like, if I only got to play, like, half the game, like
– mm-hmm. Then it is cool. Yeah, because ain't too many people in there. And if them dudes in there are trying to, like, really – do some like you know I get being physical and I get it's basketball but don't be overly dumb about everything now the fact
make
that,
a point yeah
oh you know a woman is participating
yeah for sure it's just it'll be interesting what she decides obviously she only talked about it a little bit and just said you know her reps are dealing with that she's not even thinking about it obviously it was when they were getting ready for the tournament now they're done with the tournament now she got to figure out what she's gonna do But no, kind of switching over now to the men's Final Four. I didn't watch that final, right? Like, I was in the gym. I wasn't doing that. But what were your guys' initial thoughts? Akil, I know you put your bracket out. You had UConn winning it. Boom, you got it. Cam, I don't know who you had winning it. Who'd you have?
I put my chips on Caleb Love, and he stunk it up.
Arizona?
What? I just thought he was like, he's been there, like he's the most experienced, like he's a fifth year guy, like maybe he could have like a run like he had. What was that? That might have been his freshman year.
Yeah.
you know, but I'm not surprised. UConn won. They were clearly the best team all year. Dan Early's offense is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
The plays that he draws up are crazy. Absolutely. absolutely insane.
And those for your playbook, Cam?
Steph, I've never seen before. Steph, I'm definitely with Steel. I already got him bookmarked, but I'm not surprised. I mean, yeah. They were the best team.
Yeah, UConn was the best team. I mean, I didn't go into any of those games thinking they were going to lose. Like, not ever. They're just too tough, too talented. Guard play is, you know, elite, and they really defend at a high level. And Purdue, I'm surprised Purdue even made it that far. I mean, granted, yeah, they got the player of the year. He's bigger than everybody. But their guard play, to me, was okay. Like, they were solid, but they weren't guards that win you championships at the end of the day. You know, they did what they did during the course of the season, though, and they had a lot of success. But Zach Edey throwing it in and getting to a jump hook, those points never add up, in my opinion. So, and that's what their bread and butter was. And they're in drop coverage, and UConn's guards just eating them up. So it was an interesting battle to see. But Dan Hurley definitely has UConn going crazy.
Yeah, no, and it kind of goes back to that big guy with Purdue. Like, do we think that'll translate, you know, getting ready for this draft? Obviously, we have Bronny getting into this draft. We definitely have some highlighted stars. Do we think, you know, that they'll give him a chance? I'm assuming, me personally, they'll give him a chance, but I don't know your guys' thoughts as this draft starts to come together.
This draft's a week.
Unfortunately, I think he's earned a chance.
For sure.
But I think he's going to get somebody fired if they take him early.
Yeah.
It's just the way basketball is played right now with the pick and roll is just, and all the switching is just so tough. And he can't move his feet.
Yeah.
And these guards in the NBA, it's just going to be hard for him. Yeah. And like Akil said, the getting, if all you got is a jump hook, it's just, with the way the three balls are impacting the game, it's just not, you're not going to win games that way.
Yeah. Is there a player you would say, like, in the NBA now where it's, like, if you were to tell him, like, you should, like, shape your game like this person and you could have, you know, a long career? Do you guys know of someone who you would think, like, maybe?
Is that Edie?
Yeah.
It's unless he spends all summer with agility ladders and he got to be able to move. And then I'm not even going to disrespect Wimby and say Wimby, but I don't know.
Yeah.
He's going to be a G leaguer for life.
Yeah. He might just have to go over water.
So there's no one you would say, like, no, none.
The way he plays, it's going to take him too long to develop.
Yeah. Like, he's so one dimensional and he already, what, 22, 23? So if he don't got no top of the key jumper or no corner three, can he play in a DHO? I don't know. I don't think he can pass that well as, like, from the top of the key to perimeter area, maybe from getting double teamed so much in college. But, yeah, a lot of his skill set doesn't necessarily translate to the NBA like you would want some of your, you know, your fours and fives. I mean, well, your fives to play like nowadays, and there's very few five men. So it's tough to say. Somebody's gonna give him a chance at the end of the day, but yeah, it's more so he get off the ground though, which is crazy. He caught a lot of shit. He got a couple blocks.
No, he definitely surprised me with his athleticism. He literally got off the ground.
Yeah, but as far as playing the NBA at that pace, it'd be tough for him.
And it kind of, you know, makes it a little bit unfortunate. Obviously, he made that comment, right? He's not a citizen of the United States. He's Canadian. He doesn't get, you know, any of the NIL money. So it kind of puts that in perspective, too, where maybe he's thinking the same thing. He kind of had the same people, like, in his ear. Like, he missed out on all this money, obviously, being the player of the year. And it's like, you know, how much time do you have, you know, in the NBA, potentially?
Yeah, no, that's crazy that I seen that too. I can only imagine being a two-time player of the year and missing out on that money. So I didn't know that was a rule.
I didn't know that either.
I'm sure he had to be getting something under, like, he got something. Like, there's no way.
But not to the, like, amount that you see.
That he could have seen, yeah.
He's obviously not getting his worth.
No, yeah. But yeah, no, it makes it kind of interesting with that. But kind of continue on with the draft. Obviously, Bronny declared he was in the transfer portal. Then he decided, you know, I'm going to test it with no agent. Obviously, his dad is LeBron James, so it's like you don't really need like an agent. So where do you think he's going to fall? Do you think it was smart? Do you think if he goes back in the portal, would he go back to USC? Obviously, that you would love to have him back. I'm just really curious what you guys think about that.
My thing with Bronny is he's going to be like, we've seen what kind of player he's going to be. He's not going to get any better at scoring the ball, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like he's a spot. He can make shots. He can guard and he could distribute the ball. I think that's what he's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think,
So you say he like KCP?
I would say he's not that. I don't think he's that well of a shooter. I would say he's a poor man's Drew Holiday.
Athletic.
He's athletic. He can make a shot. He can defend. Maybe not at that high of a level, but
yeah,
maybe that can get better over time. I don't think he's growing anymore. Well, he might.
Yeah,
he might. But I just think he is who he's going to be. I don't think him going back to college will help him, but I don't think it hurts. Like he's gonna get the same result.
in my opinion. Definitely.
As far as a draft, he's not a first round draft pick. I wouldn't use one on him. If he goes back to college, you can go wherever you want. I just think he's gonna get the same result.
Yeah. Nah, Bronny. That's literally who he is. At this stage, yeah, he might as well just go for it. Kind of bet on himself and continue to get better through the, you know, the NBA process and, you know, just working out with his dad, of course, and some of those trainers, because he's going to have access to the best of the best as far as resources. If he can develop like a consistent jumper at his size, he'll be all right. I mean, he'll be formidable. Like, you know, you got guys like Payne Watson coming off the bench for the Nuggets, like Christian Braun coming off the bench for the Nuggets. They play hard as hell. And, you know, even Payne Watson's still trying to figure out his shot, but he's uber athletic, defends long. And I don't think Bronny is as long as some of those guys. But if he can, you know, compete at a high level, be able to catch and shoot, you know, he'd be all right. I don't really see him being a ball screen type of guy, coming off a ball screen, creating for nobody at a high enough level like that. So he would definitely just be, you know, a solid role piece throughout the course of his career if he can keep it up, stay in the NBA.
It also makes me think about, too, like, you know, obviously LeBron is still doing really good for his age, his body, everything he's invested into that. Do the Lakers have to draft Bronny then? Like, I know the whole thing was that he could play with his son. I don't know personally, like, LeBron's, like, contract, right? Bronny gets picked up somewhere else. Is LeBron making calls? Like, I got to get to that team, like, obviously, Cam, you're a Lakers fan. I don't know, you know, if you want LeBron to continue to stay, if you would like a pick to go to Bronny, but obviously that's like a big impact of why he's going now.
I, for one, would definitely – I'm over the LeBron era in L.A. Like, I appreciate him for coming and
he's in his time
doing what he did, but, like, I think it's time for us as an organization to move on. If he stays and we draft Bronny, I will not be happy. I probably will not watch that product. I'm just not. I wouldn't be a fan of it. That's what I'll say.
What do you think?
I get it, but then it's like, at what cost? Like, you know, for the Lakers franchise, at least, like, you guys would always, you know, find to be a championship contender. And that don't really seem like the piece to get you to that point. So it'd be interesting, right? Like, LeBron does have a lot of power. I mean, I do think that it would be a dope situation where you are playing with your son, but at what cost, I think, comes down to. And the Lakers, I don't know. I think LeBron has one more year in his contract, or is he a free agent?
I think he has a player option.
Yeah, he might have a player option. I don't know. It'd be crazy if he opts out to just go join his son at the same time, you know. But he says that Bronny's, you know, going down his own path and all that fun stuff. So we'll really see if he means what he says. But Yeah, I don't know. I think it'd be a dope on pa- it'd be dope on paper, but looking at it from a basketball standpoint and wanting to win games and to, you know, use a draft pick just because of that experience, I don't know if that's worth it.
I think one thing that gets looked over, obviously, like Bronny doesn't speak on it. Like his dad probably does all the talking, but we don't even know if that's what Bronny wants. Like we don't know what he wants.
Right, we never
Like
know, yeah.
who's to say he wants to be on his dad's team? Like why would I want to be going on road trips and my NBA experience and my dad is there on every step?
That's true. I didn't
Like,
even think of that
I
part.
wouldn't want that.
They're gonna be at the club together. That's crazy.
Like I'm getting hotels. My dad's in the next room over.
No, facts. That is crazy. Like you're gonna low key get tired of each other.
Or
Yeah,
just
I never thought about it like that. Yeah.
yeah, that's a good point. Well, now that we're kind of getting towards the end of the season, right? We're getting to playoffs. Curious on your guys, top five title contenders. You guys know me. Number one is going to be Celtics. Two through five, I don't care who it is. Celtics all the way, as you know. Sorry about that, Cam. Kayla, if you want to start off, if you have your five.
I mean, I'm going Dallas. Whoa, wait, hold on. Let me start over.
So
I'm
number
going,
one.
yeah, number one. I'm going Denver. Denver's number one, right? You know, they won it last year. They still have pretty much the same team. Some of those guys have gotten better off the bench. Joker, Jamal Murray. You know, he's a killer when it's time to be one. And if Michael Porter Jr. could continue to not only score the ball but contribute in other categories like rebounding and whatnot. And defending, they'll be a force to reckon with once again. I think the second team you got to say is Boston. You got JT playing out of his mind. If Jaylen Brown and them can somehow put that together consistently in the 7-game series, I think they'll be fine. But especially in the East, right? I think they no doubt get to the finals or at least the conference championship. My third team, I'm gonna go with the Clippers. I'm gonna go with the Clippers. I think Kawhi, a healthy Kawhi, Paul George, Russ, and Harden. There's no way you shouldn't at least get to the conference championship on paper, right? I mean, they've been kind of playing inconsistent ball the last few weeks. I don't know if it's just like I'm ready to be in the playoffs, get this thing going, or what. But I think that with that core group of guys, I mean, you always have a chance. And then my fourth team, I guess I'm gonna say, I want to go with an East team. I Milwaukee. I'm gonna be honest, I'm not really big on them. Like they don't scare nobody. They haven't really found their footing within each other. They've lost too many games they shouldn't have. I get it. They have Giannis, so people are going to sit here and say it's hard to count them out, but I'm counting them out. I don't think they'll go very far, actually. The sleeper team, though, to watch is Sixers as they're getting healthy now, as the season's winding down. But my fourth team, that's in my fourth team.
No.
My fourth team is Dallas. Kyrie, Luka, Magic. Come on now. I mean, Kyrie and Luka are hooping. Kyrie's playing out of his mind. Ramadan Kai. Luka's arguably the MVP of the league right now. I don't see another duo playing better than those two right now. I can't name another one. So I'm gonna say Dallas because they hot right now. But they have to play the Clippers first round. That's gonna be a fade. In my fifth team, I'm going with. I'm about to get. I'm gonna say it's gonna be out of New York or Phoenix. Phoenix. It's funny though, because I'm looking at Minnesota at the top, and I respect Minnesota a lot, long as Cat comes back, right? With the team they got now, I'm not really banking on them doing nothing if Cat's not playing. If Cat's playing, then they'll be my fifth contender, no doubt. But I'm gonna go ahead and put Phoenix just because you got KD, Book, and Beal. And I think if they can stay healthy throughout the course of this run, I think they'll be fine.
All right, so Akil got his top five. Cam, you've had some time. Akil gave his explanation. Give us yours.
For me, when you look at the West, you got Minnesota at the top. I think they're pretenders. Like every year, Rudy Gobert gets in the playoffs and he becomes a liability.
Yeah.
I just think he's every year he becomes a liability. The Thunder, they're young, inexperienced. I think that inexperience will show. So my number one would be Denver. Like, I would just give them the reigning champs. Like, and somebody has to beat them. And nobody has still solved the Joker problem in the league. Two would be Boston. I just think that they've been coasting all year. I think when they're healthy with Porzingis, Al Horford, and it's just a lot they can throw at you, and they can defend at least 1 through 4, and then maybe 5 with Al Horford out there.
Yeah.
Three, I would have to say I will give it to Milwaukee just because they've been there, but maybe not with this group because of Dame, but I think they've been there. But then again, they have Doc Rivers at the helm, and he's terrible with luck.
Mm-hmm.
My fourth team, I'm going to put the Lakers, even though they're in the play-in. I just think if they are in a spot, like, they're tough to beat.
He's a fan of the Lakers.
Tough to beat. Like, they shown last year from they can get there if they put things together, barring health. My fifth team, I'm a big – just because Kyrie's my favorite player, I'm going to go Dallas. I think they're playing good ball. And, like, I've told some people in my circle that Dallas had the biggest free agency gets with P.J. Washington and what was it, Gafford? And asked me, like, why? Like, what does that do? And I was like, you give Luka another lob threat and somebody who can defend the rim, and you give him another shooter. Like, I just think that was Dallas, a very slept-on move. I think the Clippers are a pretender. They do it every year. Like, I have no faith in them.
Damn.
I guess my sixth team will be Philly, just because of Joel Embiid. Like, I don't think anybody out east has an answer for that except Boston, which would be the 3-ball.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, obviously, Akil, you started to mention who you think the lead is, the MVP. If you know, if they pronounce it tomorrow, who are you going with for the MVP?
Luka. I mean, it ain't really no conversation. Luka has been the most dominant player since the All-Star break. His numbers look like 33-9-9. Like, that's crazy.
That's Cam, crazy. Do you agree with that? Do you think it's someone else?
I don't disagree with the numbers. Luka wouldn't get my vote.
What?
I would vote on Shea. I would vote Shea just because this team went from playing last year to top 3 seed this year. They were 1 for most of the year, but now they're obviously dropping off. But he would get my vote. Not saying Luka doesn't deserve it. I wouldn't vote Jokic just because from past experiences with the NBA, with the voters fatigue and how they do that, like, they're tired of the same person winning. He probably deserves it, but I would vote Shea.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not mad at that. I like Shea a lot. He's definitely, you know, gained my respect over the years, and what he can do and seeing his development. But yeah, I wouldn't be mad at either of those. But I'm gonna go ahead and say Luka. I think they 16-2 since in their last 18 games too, and Luka's just been dominating, man. And I think he's the real, like, if Anthony Edwards is in the next face of the league, I think Luka's right there.
I definitely agree with that. I mean, if he's not already,
who, the face of the league?
Yeah.
With
him and Joker. But that's another thing, like the international players kind of taking over right now.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if the NBA brand, if they are in full support of that or not.
Well, you got to think, like, the guy they tried to push at first, Zion, injuries, then Ja, off the court issues.
Yeah.
And then the next guy would be Anthony Edwards, which I'm not sure. I don't know why the league's not behind that one. But
yeah, it's just great personality.
Maybe it's the market that he's in. I don't know. But They don't. They're not pushing. They're not pushing their American guys. So
they're not. Yeah, no. It's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be interesting to see. But no, I'm excited. I think there's maybe 5 more games left before playoffs or something like that. So interested to see how these next few games go. The East is so close, and the West, some of those teams at the bottom of the West are very close on records, and seeing who wants to kind of match up. It's another episode of the Hoop Menu. Remember, check us out on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. It'll be in the description thing at below. Trying to get up to 100 subs on YouTube, trying to get up to 100 followers on Instagram. So if you support us, you know, make sure you follow our personal pages and stuff too, and you'll see more, you know, updates as, you know, this season goes by. Again, another episode of the Hoop Menu. We out.